Good morning, Lakeland Baptist Church. It's good to see you, masks and all. Thank you for being here today. I'm excited to continue our study in the book of Ruth. So I invite you to please turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. If you're joining us online, thank you for connecting with us this morning. We're excited to have you as well. We are working our way through this short book, each chapter, a sermon. So we'll be finished with Ruth in 2 more weeks. We started our study of Ruth back before COVID-19 hit us, and we had to postpone that, and now I'm excited to be back completing just this exciting book. So Ruth, chapter 2, and I'll remind you, as we preach through a narrative, you do that differently than you do an epistle. As you preach through a narrative, you're retelling the story. So we'll hit key verses, but you follow along in the story as I retell it. So Ruth, chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. It was sometime in mid or early March to late April when the barley harvest was beginning in the land of Judah that Naomi and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, the Moabite, returned to the small town of Bethlehem, and they are resettling from the land of Moab. Once they make their way back to Bethlehem, they are getting settled in, and Ruth asks her mother a question, mother-in-law. She wants permission to do something specific, and we see in verse 2 what she asks. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." She's asking permission to be able to go into a field after the harvesters have gone through themselves and they've taken the grain, and she's wanting to pick up the scraps that are left over on the ground or even some of the stalks that have been left free standing. This question to Naomi reminds us of Naomi and Ruth's desperate situation that they're currently in. Both Naomi and Ruth, they're widows. They do not have a man in their life to protect them and provide for them and to give them a secure future. You'll remember that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died while they were living in the land of Moab. They had sought refuge there when there was a severe famine that had come upon the land of Judah. And while there, both of Naomi's sons had married two Moabite women, and you'll remember both of Naomi's sons died. And so Ruth herself lost her husband. So here these two widows are in this small town of Bethlehem, and they have no husbands. And they're also childless. Naomi lost both of her sons, Mahlon and Chilion, while in the land of Moab. And Ruth never gave birth to a child. She suffered from infertility for the 10 years that they were together in Moab. And we find out further, and we're reminded in this passage that Ruth, she's a Moabite. She's a foreigner. She's an outsider. This is not her home. She is an alien living among native Israelites. How will they receive her? What will their treatment towards her be like? You see, the Old Testament law, it commanded the Israelites to allow the needy, the poor, the alien, the orphan, and the widow to glean from the fields, so as they could have provision, so that they would not starve. But landowners were not always sympathetic to the need of the poor. Sometimes they could be hostile and unwilling to allow the poor to glean from the fields. And this is why Ruth phrases the question the way she does. She needs to find a landowner who will show her grace, someone who will be compassionate to her and her mother-in-law in their time of need. Naomi and Ruth, they're destitute widows. They have the potential of suffering from hunger, the potential to suffer from oppression and poverty, and even death. Naomi realizes how serious their situation is, so she gives her foreign daughter-in-law permission to go out into the lands of Bethlehem and to glean. So Ruth rises early that morning. And she goes out, and the text tells us she finds a field, and it's a field belonging to a man named Boaz. We see this in verse 3, who was of the family of Elimelech. this man Boaz, he's not just any individual in Bethlehem. The narrator's already introduced us to him. He's a key figure in this scene in the story in chapter 2, verse 1. Boaz is a family member of Naomi's deceased husband, Elimelech. We don't know the exact relationship, possibly a cousin somewhere on the family tree, but he's a man of great wealth, a man of great influence in the city of Bethlehem. The narrator tells us that Boaz comes to the field and he greets his servants with the address, "May the Lord be with you." And they in turn respond, "May the Lord bless you." This address gives us an insight into Boaz's character. The narrator wants us to see something about this man. In a day when the Israelites, for the most part, were living as if there was no king doing what was right in their own eyes, here was a man who was sensitive to the Lord. Here was a man who had a heart to do things the way God wanted him to do them. And he's wishing God's blessings upon his people. And his servants, in response, wish God's blessings upon him. And then it happens. Boaz sees a woman who catches his eye. I don't know what this was like for Boaz, but I remember the first time that I laid eyes on my beautiful wife when I was studying for my comprehensive exams over in Fort Worth at a local Starbucks. When I saw her, I couldn't think of anything else but getting to know who was this beautiful blonde. Boaz, he sees this woman and he asks the question to his chief field worker, "Whose young woman is this?" Ruth, she didn't look like the other ladies. He could tell she wasn't a native. She wasn't from around here. And the field worker tells Boaz who she is. In verse 6, he says, "She's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." She's the foreigner, sir. She came back with Naomi when they came from the land of Moab. When Boaz hears about this, Boaz approaches Ruth, and I want you to see what takes place as he approaches her and he begins to speak to her. First of all, Boaz, he approaches Ruth and he speaks so kindly to Ruth. Look at what he does in verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter." He speaks to her as his daughter. This address of "my daughter," it reminds us that Boaz is a man who's much older than Ruth. She's quite younger than he is. This phrase also tells us that he has a compassionate heart to her. She's a foreigner in a strange land, not among her people, but he's a man that is willing to be caring towards her. So he speaks kindly to her. We see in verse 8 further that not only does he speak kindly to her, but Boaz provides for Ruth. The text says he tells her, "Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but you stay here with my maids and let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. You're in my field and I'm going to give you a place where you can gather all that you need for yourself." And also, he knows who she's related to, for her mother-in-law. He's going to allow her to follow behind the maids as they're bundling up these sheaves of grain, so that she can pick up what she needs, what is left over. He provides for her, but he goes even further. Boaz protects Ruth. He says, "Indeed, I have commanded," in verse 9, "the servants not to touch you." There may have been some field workers who didn't like the sight of this foreign woman following behind them in the field, but that was too bad. While you were on Boaz's field, he's already given the directive, "You are not to touch her." What this phrase, "not to touch," it means they were not to mistreat, they were not to mishandle, they were not to say anything against this woman who was there to glean in his field. This reminds us, and I'll just make this point quick, that God has called men to be the protector of women, not the other way around. Men in this church, Lakeland Baptist Church, Christian men, ought to be men who rise up and we stand to protect women in our congregation, in our families, in our community, in this world. God's called men to be the protector of women, and that's what Boaz is doing here. He's protecting Ruth, who could have otherwise been victimized in some way. He protects Ruth. She will not be harassed. They will not take advantage of her. They will not mistreat her on his land. He goes even further, though. Boaz privileges Ruth. Look at what verse 9 says. When you're thirsty, you go to the water jars and you drink from what the servants draw. You say, well, how's that a privilege? You got to understand the custom back in the day. Back in this time, foreigners had the responsibility to draw water for Israelites. And women had the responsibility to draw water for men. But here Boaz is saying, my servants have already drawn the water, and anytime you're thirsty, you can go get a drink to satisfy your thirst. He privileges her. She's a woman. She's a foreigner. But he's so extraordinarily kind and thoughtful. He doesn't treat her like an inferior person. Ruth, as Boaz is telling her all of this, their first meeting together, she's overwhelmed. She's taken back in her heart. And she verbally and physically shows her gratefulness to Boaz. In verse 10, it says, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, why have I found favor in your sight, that you would take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? I'm not from around here. I know how these things usually go. Why would you look upon me in this way to show me such kindness and generosity and love? Boaz's reply in verse 11 reminds us of how quickly news about Naomi has spread in this small town. Boaz has not yet run into Naomi, but he's gotten word about what has happened. Word has reached him that Naomi has returned, and that she's come back from the land of Moab with a daughter-in-law who has forsaken her people, forsaken her land, and she has dedicated herself to her mother-in-law to accept a new people in a new place as her home. And Boaz tells her, I've heard about that. But moreover, he's heard something else in verse 12. He blesses Ruth. He prays this prayer of blessing over her. He says, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Boaz says, I've heard what you've done. You've not only forsaken your people and your land, but you've forsaken your gods. And you've now committed in love and in loyalty to serve the one true living God, the God of Israel. You've come to him as a mother bird does her defenseless chicks, as she gathers them under her wings to protect them. You've sought refuge under the wings of God. And he's praying this blessing over here. May God reward you for your faithfulness to him and sacrificing and putting away your old gods. And she's so thankful for what he has done that he's given her rest. He's put her mind at ease. Her heart can breathe a sigh of relief. She's so thankful that she says to him in verse 13, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed you've spoken kindly to your maidservant. And pay attention to what she says in the latter part of verse 13, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. The word she uses here is a word that would describe a woman of the lowest social order. If you were to think of a ladder, which represented all the different levels in society, Ruth is saying here, I'm on that lowest rung. You can't get any lower than me is what Ruth is saying, and yet you've shown me this kind of love, this kind of grace, this kind of favor and mercy. Her heart is so overwhelmed. Though Boaz has been so kind and so generous, he's still not done. The story gets even better. It's about noontime. They're going to have a meal because they've been working all day. And the text seems to read that Ruth is at a distance from where they're planning to eat. And do you know what Boaz does? He includes Ruth. He invites her to the table. They're going to have some roasted grain. And he opens up a seat for her at the table with all the other workers. And there she sits to eat with them, and she fills herself full, and she has enough left over to take to her mother-in-law and to take some home for herself to eat. When the meal was over, Ruth gets up and she's going back to work, and Boaz does something else. He tells his field workers, look in verse 15 and 16. He says, when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, he said, you let her glean from among the sheaves. and you do not insult her. Not one coarse word is to be said to this woman. More protection. And then there's more provision. Also, you shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it there that she may glean, and don't rebuke her. He wants to set her up to succeed. He's going to make sure she has enough to take home for herself and for her mother-in-law. Ruth works the rest of the day, and when the day's end has come, the text tells us that she beats out the grain. She's separating the grain from the stalks, probably using a stick or some kind of a rock, hammering it against some rocky surface. And she worked throughout that day and gathered so much that commentators tell us that they would have had several weeks' worth of food when Ruth took it home to her mother-in-law. When Ruth arrives back home in the city, she comes through the door and Naomi sees all that Ruth has brought in. Naomi has this question. She says in verse 19, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work?" And she pronounces a blessing. She says, "May he who took notice of you be blessed." Naomi says, "Where did you work?" And Ruth doesn't answer the where question. She answers the who question. She wants to tell Naomi, "The man with whom I work today, his name was Boaz." When Naomi heard that name, Boaz, man, something happened within her. She knew that name. It evoked such emotion in her, she erupted in another prayer over the man who has shown such grace to her and her daughter-in-law. And in verse 20, we see that Naomi says, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." And again, Naomi said to her, "This man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives." You say, "Well, Pastor, what's going on? Why is Naomi so excited about this name Boaz?" You see, Naomi's starting to connect the dots. She's starting to see something. Her soul's beginning to be lifted within her. She came back to Bethlehem empty. She's looking at God as a God who's removed his hand of grace upon her life and as a God who's out to get her. But something's starting to make sense to her here. She's thinking, "My daughter-in-law went out into a field and Boaz's path has intersected with her. And now Boaz has showed her such grace," and she's starting to see God's at work. The happenstance of Ruth going to the field of Boaz, that wasn't just by chance. God was leading Ruth to the right place. Boaz showing up in the field at that time when Ruth was out there gleaning and resting under the field shelter, that was God leading Boaz to the right place at the right time. And the response that Boaz had towards Ruth, that was God conditioning Boaz's heart to treat her the way he did. It's starting to make sense that she is understanding that God's working through Boaz to demonstrate his loving kindness, his mercy, his grace, his love, his generosity, his provision to two destitute widows. See, like Naomi and Ruth, our world today is filled with destitute people. We have people who are hungry, and they don't know where they're going to get their next meal. We have people who are unemployed and they need jobs. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills that are piling up. We have wives and children who thought they were living in the homes with men who would protect them, and yet they've become their abusers and they need places of safety and refuge. We have people, because of where they come from and because of the color of their skin, that they're not welcomed. They're treated differently. They're looked at differently. And those people are desiring for others to reach out a hand of friendship, to have open arms, to invite them into our homes, to give them a seat at our tables. People are beat down. They've gone through tragedy after tragedy, some of the worst things that we could imagine, some things that they can't explain and some things that they brought upon themselves. And we have people who are ravaged by sin in this world. Sin has done a number in their lives, and they're looking for someone to show them that they are loved, and that someone who will pray a prayer over their lives and point them to the God who will open his wings and accept them and protect them through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like Naomi and Ruth, God cares for the destitute people of our day. And God, listen to me, God desires to show them His grace, His mercy, and His love, and His forgiveness, and His provision, His salvation. How does God do that? As He did in this scene in the book of Ruth, God shows His graciousness to people who are destitute through His faithful servants. You've heard it said before that we, the church, the redeemed in Jesus Christ, that we are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We see this working out in Ruth chapter 2, that God has sent His servant to Ruth at the right time to display His grace and love to her, to meet her in her time of need. And that's what God is doing in our day through His people, through us. He's raising us up to use us in the lives of people who need to know Him. See, God is in the details of our lives. He's working in all the situations. We may not understand why certain things are happening, just as Ruth didn't, just as Boaz may not have, but God's directing us here, and He's directing others there, and He's intersecting our paths because He wants us to be able to meet some need. He wants us to be able to talk to others about Him. He wants us to share that life-changing message that's found in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins and the security that comes through having a restored relationship with God. And the question before us this morning in Ruth chapter 2 is, are we willing to be a Boaz to someone this week? Are we willing to say, Lord, I'll take my hands off of my life. I will not write my schedule in so tightly that I will not allow for You to direct me in all of the things that You may have planned for me that I don't even understand this week. Are you willing to be a Boaz to someone? Are you willing to be that one who spends and makes an investment into somebody's life? Are you willing to let your schedule be interrupted and to make time when you weren't planning to make time? Are you willing to have eyes to see those who are hurting around you? To have ears to listen to what they are going through, and then to pray about how you can respond. Are you willing to have a heart for them? Will you be a Boaz to someone this week? We find out more about Boaz. He's not just a faithful servant. Naomi's told us something else about him. You'll see again in verse 20, Naomi says, the man, he's our relative. In fact, he's one of our closest relatives. You could translate this label closest relative as kinsman redeemer. You see, back in the Israelite culture, there was this concept of a kinsman redeemer, and this referred to an adult blood relative male who had various responsibilities, and two of those responsibilities for the clan, for the family, was one that if property was ever changed hands and fell into the ownership of some other family, that he had the responsibility to resecure it for that clan, because the gift of land was so important. God gave it to certain families, and it was to stay in those families. So he had a responsibility to keep the inheritance in the family, but another responsibility he had was he was to marry a childless widow of a deceased relative, that he might raise up an heir for that family so the name would not be extinguished. One writer says, when Naomi learns that Ruth has met Boaz and Boaz has shown her this kind of kindness, he writes, when Naomi learns that Ruth has met with Boaz, the sun rises again in her life. The darkness begins to clear up a little bit. She's starting to sense, well, I know what a kinsman redeemer's responsibility is. Could God be doing this for me and for Ruth? God's providing for her deceased husband, and God's providing for them, the living. Naomi can sense God's up to something, and so she tells Ruth, she says, Ruth, have you ever had your daughter bring home a man, and you're like, honey, you need to stay with that guy? Naomi says, Ruth, it's good for you to be in the field of Boaz. Don't go to any other field. You stay there where you're protected and you're provided for. It's good for you to be with Boaz. The one through whom God has shown kindness to Naomi and Ruth turns out not just to be a faithful servant who's willing to serve two destitute widows, but he turns out to be a kinsman redeemer. One who will potentially, he's not obligated to, but potentially rescue them from extinction, from death. See, the Bible tells us that we all are spiritually destitute. Every man in the world has the same plight. Death is coming. We're all going to die physically one day, and then the Bible tells us there's a death after that death. It's a death when we stand before the true and living God, the creator of all things, the one who's perfect in all of his ways, and he will be the judge of all men on that day. The Bible tells us what we deserve because he's holy and because we've rebelled against him. According to our sin nature, we deserve eternal death. Not just physical death where we cease to exist, but eternal death where we live on forever separated from him in a place of punishment the Bible calls hell. So every man in the world needs to be rescued from physical death and eternal death. And God, in his graciousness, he provided us with a redeemer. Our Lord came down from heaven and he became a man. He became a brother for us. And he was willing to live a perfect life and offer up his life on the cross to be put to death for our sins, to suffer in our place, to bear the judgment of our sin. And the Bible tells us after he did so, he was put into the grave. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He's the one who's defeated sin and death, and he offers to everyone who's willing to trust in him and to turn from their sin this gift of victory over sin and death. He gives his righteousness to those who will turn from their sin. He restores us to God when we trust in him, and he gives us fullness of life and the hope that when we do die, we will be resurrected, and when we stand before God, we will be welcomed in rather than banished from his presence. We needed a redeemer, and God provided us one in his Son, Jesus Christ. And God's way of pointing us to Jesus, do you know how he does that? He does it through faithful servants. That's the calling God's given us all as his followers. Jesus said upon his return to heaven to be with the Father, he said, go therefore make disciples. How do we make disciples? We proclaim this message, this good news about him to introduce people to who he is so that they can be restored to God. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we are to be his witnesses. We're to be a Boaz who meets the needs of people and shows that love of God, and we're to be a Boaz who speaks that message of God. And we tell people the hope that is found in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to be a Boaz? Will you say, God, use me this week? Let me serve someone to point them to you. Are you willing to say, God, give me that courage and boldness that I can speak the truth about you to someone and I can help them understand their lostness and how they can be found in Christ Jesus? What do you need to do this morning? We're going to have a time of response. Allow you to just speak to God and say, God, will you use me this week to be a Boaz to someone? And maybe you're with us or maybe you're watching online and you've never made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ. We invite you to turn from your sin and to trust in Jesus. We're here to help you, to talk you through that. If you're watching online, you can text decision to the number at the bottom of the screen. Whatever you need to do this morning, we want to help you have a relationship with Christ if you don't have it. Would you please stand? Father, we know that there are so many people in need in our world. God, so many physical, material, and financial needs that we can't meet on our own, but we know you through us, you can help us to show meaningful care and compassion for those people in need. Will you raise up people this week from our congregation to be Boaz to someone? And Lord, will you raise us up this week to be a Boaz to speak your gospel, to let people know there's a God who's willing to protect them in this life, but to protect them from the judgment that is to come, and that is through a relationship with Jesus. God, use us to be your hands and your feet and to be your mouth in this world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you need to do this morning? Will you please come?